All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal, you are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
Having the crucial conversations that Erie needs, and I've been so excited after getting this get, as they say in the biz, because we're excited to talk to John Melody. He is the proprietor of the U-Pick 6 chain of restaurants here in our community. John, welcome to the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
All right. So, hey, you know, you said something off air here. Everyone wants a piece of meat because it's St. Patrick's Day and you're like our favorite Irishman, aren't you?
No, I said everybody wants a piece of meat this time of year. For the week leading up to Paddy's Day, I tend to be popular, but after Monday, I'm not popular anymore. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I want you to tell your story because I think it's a remarkable one. And tell us about growing up in Ireland. Did you grow up in a big city, small town?
No, a small town. My hometown is Dungarvan, which is twinned with Erie, you know, sister cities.
Okay.
Yeah, so just a very normal upbringing for, you know, anybody who grew up in Ireland in the 70s and 80s.
What did your folks do?
My dad's a veterinarian.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just, you know, he's mid-80s now, but he practiced up until he was 80 years of age.
Have you always had a pet because of that?
We've had dogs and more dogs and more dogs. We had dogs that didn't have names. We had so many dogs. But, you know, that was the life we lived at that time. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, very, very good childhood, great town. I still go home twice a year. Still have a lot of really good friends in my hometown. So
sure. It's
nice just to be able to kind of go home and ease right in, sometimes like you never left.
In Ireland, is soccer or football like something you start doing as soon as you walk?
No, not at all. I was just talking to a friend of mine when I was just in Ireland recently. You know, our first organized game of soccer was under 11 or under 12.
Really?
Yeah, it's that late. You know, I mean, obviously now things have changed many, many years later where they say if you're not playing since you're, you know, 4 or 5 years of age, you're never going to be any good, which I mean, I fundamentally disagree with.
But right.
It's just the way it is. It's the way it's kind of, you know, been over here for the last number of years. But, you know, soccer is not the biggest sport in Ireland, is, you know, which some people will, you know, not have heard before. You know, we have our what we call our Gaelic games, you know, our own version, our Gaelic football, our hurling, you know, and they're the top two sports. I mean, they're just part of the fabric. And you,
what is hurling?
Yeah, hurling is a game. You know, I suppose the best, it's a field game, it's with sticks, it's akin to lacrosse a little bit, you know, a cross between, say, maybe lacrosse and soccer and various different sports.
Okay.
You'd have to Google that. It's tough to explain, but it's great to, but it's, like I say, it's very much part of how you grew up in Ireland playing.
Aren't there some famous Irish basketball players and baseball players? No, not really?
No.
Okay.
No such thing.
Interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, but soccer, yes?
Soccer, yes. I mean, we've had, you know, I mean, most people that know soccer, Roy Keane, probably one of the best players ever played for Manchester United, was from Ireland, and I suppose he's the one. You can go back before that, Johnny Giles and even Robbie Keane. You know, today, I mean, it's, you know, you're looking at, you know, Ferguson, who plays for Brighton right now, young player, he's only 18, 19, playing in the Premiership, so... You know, we've gone through a little bit of a lull in talent in Ireland, maybe in the last 10 years. Prior to that, we had a really good run for many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just actually in Giant Stadium when Ireland beat Italy. I like to tell Italians that.
Yes.
and that was, you know, that was the World Cup that was here in 1994, which is the World's coming back here in 2026 next year. So,
have they ever hosted the World Cup?
No. We're hopefully part of hosting the European Championships coming up, okay. But you wouldn't have the size or the facilities in Ireland to host something.
I was
going to
say,
well,
obviously Dublin's the biggest city, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, do they have a?
We have our national stadium,
huge stadium?
Which is it's the third or fourth biggest stadium in Europe, ironically.
Okay,
but it's a stadium for Gaelic games. You can play soccer there, but
gosh.
So that just gives you the
So
context
they like their games.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yep.
All right, so you picked up soccer. And Mercyhurst recruits you. Talk about how that went down.
Yeah, that was maybe, 1985 probably, when, I was the school, was called to the headmaster's office, and I actually went down there with conference.
Were you like a junior? Or
I would have been in my last, going into my last year.
Going into your last year, yeah.
So I went down, and there was two American gentlemen sitting there going, we saw you playing soccer yesterday, we'd like you to come to the States, and so on and so forth. And it was just really kind of bizarre. So I'd never heard of soccer scholarships to the States.
Yeah.
Not many people had. So, I mean, obviously since then, but there wasn't, that was kind of the start of it, I think, in bringing, I won't say foreign students to the States, but primarily Irish foreign students. There wasn't many that came before us, I don't think, in the mid 80s.
Do you feel like by bringing in foreign students, because you were kind of part of really the leading edge of a wave of having foreign influence. Now, we did have, I remember when I was in high school in the late 70s, we had some kids from like Iran, because they were escaping, the fall of the Shah. And boy, instantly those teams got better.
Absolutely.
As soon as the kids came in from overseas,
Yeah, and I think that was part of it. I mean, at the time, Mercyhurst was trying to, press on with the program, and they were starting an Irish program anyway, and I think that the coach convinced the leadership there at some point to say, listen, if we're bringing Irish students, why can't we bring soccer players? And that's where we came in.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, first impressions of Erie, I mean, pretty similar to your town back home?
No, not at all. I mean, everything's bigger in America, really. The one thing I vividly remember was the size of the cars when I came here. Go back to the mid-80s and those big old gas guzzlers back in the day. And
you were used to driving minis or something?
We were driving things that were much, much smaller because the price of gas in Ireland was crazy, Mm-hmm. So that was, I do remember that, getting to the States and kind of going, the size of these cars is just unbelievable. But, I don't mind admitting I was 18 years of age. I mean, it was the first time I was ever on a plane. It was the first time I was, ever kind of, sent off by myself, so to speak. So you're just... I was green as the grass, just go and, figure it out.
I mean, your buddies excited for you? I guess I'm interested, mid-80s, what's the impression of the States? It's under Ronald Reagan. Those were kind of optimistic times a bit anyway.
And it's not even that. I mean, it wasn't that there was optimism there. I mean, unemployment in Ireland in the mid-80s was high. It was kind of at some points up to... 16, 17, 18, 19%. So to get an opportunity to the States was a good opportunity. Emigration to the States has always been part of the fabric of Ireland. You go back to famine times and people emigrated and people had big families and, they just had to emigrate. There was no other opportunity or there was no other choice. So it just kind of followed on along in that vein a little bit. So you just had to, to get an opportunity in the States at that time, was a good opportunity to get. And you just go and you do it, and you don't know if you're going to stay, you don't know if you're going to go home, but it's like anything, you kind of embrace what the situation you're in and make the best of it.
John Melody is with us from UPick6. You made the connection that you wanted to take the major, which, Mercyhurst has been famous for, of hotel restaurant management. How did that click for you?
I came over here not quite sure what I wanted to do, and I think that's one of the great things about the American education system is you can go to college and take a year or a year and a half, maybe sometimes even 2 years, to kind of figure out what direction you want to go. And there's core classes and stuff to be taken. So that was a good thing. And John Woper, I'll give him a shout out for sure. He was in charge of the hotel restaurant management department at the time. And definitely kind of took me under his wing and, showed me the ropes a little bit. And I feel like I had a good time there, a good education there. And here I am 38 years later.
They always seem to have special projects for you guys to do when you were in school at Mercyhurst. I remember, now again, this is several years before your time, but they did on a dinner theater at Mercyhurst Prep Cafeteria. So they did your good man Charlie Brown and the hotel restaurant management folks were making all the food and doing all the serving. So it was like kind of fun to kind of blend those things together.
It was. He was a very practical kind of a guy and made sure that you had a lot of practical experience, because I think theory is one thing, but, you know, we talked about it off air about, you know, sometimes the hours you have to work and maybe it's a difficult business to be in. So I think he made sure everybody had a lot of practical experience so that you would decide if this was for you or if it wasn't for you. So 2 of the years I was a Mercier's, we actually went in buses and did all the catering for Harvard's graduation.
Did you really?
Yeah. So I did 2 years anyway. I don't know if they did any more than that, but yeah, that was off to Boston for like 5 or 6 days, and they had their reunions, their graduations, and that's
and
what we did.
And you guys made the food. Oh my gosh.
He was an amazing guy. John Wolpe was an amazing guy for sure. Yeah.
What, did you always know that the restaurant business would be in your future versus maybe running a hotel?
You know, I don't think you have any idea sometimes. I mean, I had no idea when I came over here. You know, you ask me now at whatever age I am, what the next move is, and I don't know. I mean, I think that's what's great about the States. Sometimes different opportunities come along and you do different things. And, right now there's lots of opportunity out there. You know, it's whether we want to go and take it on or not. But, you know, we could talk about the labor force and we could talk about all
that. Oh, yeah, we'll get to all of that.
But, you know, Erie's been very good to me and, you know, I hope I'm good to it.
What was your I know that you coached right out of school, right? Or pretty much, or did you wait a little bit?
I waited a little bit, actually. I graduated in 1990. I spent 3 years in the West Indies. I spent a year back in Ireland. And then I came back to Mercier's to coach in 1994.
Okay.
So I've been here permanently
When
since.
You were overseas, were you doing the restaurant stuff? Or?
I was. I was working in a hotel in the West Indies for 3 years. Yeah, and then went back home and worked in a hotel. And then I came back here and I coached college soccer for 8 years.
Mostly banquet operations and
a little bit of everything.
The restaurant,
I mean, you're talking small hotels in the West Indies and Ireland. I mean, you do it all.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't specialize as such. You just, you know, whatever's in front of you, you take care of it.
You come back to coach at Mercyhurst. What was the nature of starting that first restaurant? Building that. Saying, hey, I think I'm going to go and try something here.
Yeah, well, somebody had approached me, ironically, about doing an Irish pub. For one reason or another, it didn't work out long even before, a sod was turned.
Yeah.
And but they kind of got me going, got me thinking about that. So, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, we opened Molly Brannigan's kind of right here across the street. And that was in... that was in November 2002, I believe that was.
Wow.
And that was, you know, so I've been working in downtown in one shape or form and another in some bar or restaurant for, 20 plus years now.
That's a remarkable. Yeah, and really that building turned over right before that, right? I mean, that was hardware store,
Yeah, it was
right?
Purcell's hardware store.
Yeah.
Absolutely it was. And we went in there. I don't know how long it was closed before we went in there, but it still had a lot of the hardware stuff in there, and the signage was still in there. And it's a great building, and it was. We had talked to the Purcell family, ironically, and I just hearing their story and how their dad and grandfather had been there for so many years, we just kind of wanted to do the place justice, and build something that was. That would do that building justice, which I think we did. I mean, it was
amazing.
It's a beautiful building. And I think Molly's, when we first started, turned out really, really well.
It did. John, I have to say this before we go any further. You were inducted last year in the Erie Sports Hall of Fame.
Right.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, again, from your playing, from your coaching, I mean, you've had amazing success on the... What
pitch.
Is it called? The pitch. Oh, my
pitch,
gosh.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's okay. No, it was a nice honor to get. Absolutely. When you look at the people that went before you, I mean, and I was in with a great class, and, it's humbling, when, we don't do these things because we're looking for accolades.
Yeah.
But I suppose when it's nice when they come along. It was nice for my wife and kids because, it's the first time they kind of saw something like that. So...
Yeah,
it was a nice evening. It was a nice event.
You're kind of the opposite Ted Lasso because you're the authentic European soccer player coming to the States, right?
Well, you talk about the Hall of Fame, and I said that in my speech. I was the first foreigner in the Hall of Fame, in the Erie Hall of Fame.
Is that right?
And by foreigner, I don't mean from Ohio. I mean from another country. But it was good. It was, like I say, it was nice. It was nice to be recognized.
You up for taking a phone call here?
Sure.
I think somebody wants to ask a question.
Right.
Hey, you're live on the Joel Natale Show with John Melody.
Hi, Joel. Hi, John. Hey, I know you're talking about sports now, but I don't want to go back too far. But getting back to the Molly Brannigan's building,
yes.
I mean, I was kind of heartbroken when I learned of how it was damaged in the water main break or whatever happened. Could you talk a little bit about where some of that amazing woodwork came from? I just was always real curious about it. I thought it was a beautiful place, and I loved what you did there. And I can even hang up and just listen, if that's all right.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call. Great question. Great segue there from the caller.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from Dungarvan, Ireland, which is the southeast coast of Ireland in the county of Waterford. So when we were, at that time when we were putting Molly's together, there was a lot of Irish bars being built in the States, and there was a couple of companies that were doing these fit outs and these build outs. So I contacted one, which was pretty new at the time and hadn't done much work, and it was in Waterford, so maybe 20-25 miles away from where I grew up. So I was able to kind of go with them and source some of the salvage pieces that went in there. If you remember, kind of the horseshoe end of that bar that was on the far side of the bar, that was all salvaged. There was actually a small little bar on the mezzanine which came out of the old Guinness brewery when they were doing a remodel. So every picture, every mirror, every piece of woodwork, every light fixture, everything that was in there was from Ireland, tiles, the whole lot. So effectively, when you walked in the door there, you were, you know, in a little piece of Ireland at that point. So that's, you know, and it stood the test of time. I mean, that bar was rock solid. I think that building could blow up and the bar would still be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's we spent a lot of money on it, but I think it really did, you know, it was there for 20 years or a little bit more, and it really weared really, really well. And you remember the barrels that were over the door, they were all salvage. I mean, you could even still smell the booze out of those things when they arrived. So, I mean, all the stained glass that was in there came from Ireland. Literally, once you walked in the door, except for the floor under your feet, which was the original floor in that building.
It was.
And actually, if you're there and you go back close to where that fireplace is, there's still two little indentations in the floor where old man Purcell, as somebody told me, they called him one time, he had his little checkout booth right there.
Yeah.
And he's little two indents from where he kind of shuffled his feet there for
is
40 or 50
right?
years. And they're still there. Yeah.
Incredible.
So it was a great building and, you know, great question there. But it was, you know, it's still, of all the bars and restaurants we've done, I still think it's probably the finest one.
The favorite.
Yeah.
Your favorite. The
not my favorite, my finest.
Your
one.
Finest,
yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The you think of Irish bar, you think of Guinness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you pour a lot of Guinness when
we
you
poured
owned
a lot
it?
Of Guinness, yes. We
I
poured.
Mean, again, so was that an acquired taste in Erie, Pennsylvania? I mean, we probably didn't have that much Guinness flowing before you guys came online.
Not really. And the other side of Guinness is what we used to do is we used to blend our own gas. So Guinness is, what, 65% nitrogen, 35% CO2. So you buy a canister of nitrogen and, you know, cylinder of nitrogen, cylinder of CO2, and you blend your own gas. And you blend your own gas so you can pour the Guinness to the proper specs that Guinness require. So we definitely were the first people around that did that.
Yeah.
And we still continue to do it to this day in our bars. So, you know, it's, I think a lot of people were like, not sure they like Guinness, because when you get bad Guinness, it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, but when you get good Guinness, it's really, really good. So we were very adamant on representing our country to the best way we could. And that was part of the deal.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a second there. Being Irish, going into St. Patrick's Day, is the U.S. Celebration a bit different than the Irish celebration of St. Paddy's Day?
slightly. Growing up, St. Patrick's Day is a national holiday, so pubs were closed.
Is that right?
So growing up, like I say, it was a national holiday. You went to Mass, you went to the parade, you went home for dinner, and that was the end of the day. And so when you come to the States...
And were you eating corned beef or...?
No, I never had corned beef till I came to the States, you know, so there's another myth. But I think that, you know, to come to the States and see the level that it was celebrated, you know, it did take a little while to get used to, probably, but it's, I don't know how much it is, 40, 45 million people claim Irish descent, and there's really only 4 or 5 million people living in Ireland, so it's grown and I think it's a good thing. You know, I mean, listen, my one hope is you know, St. Patrick's Day is on a Sunday. You get up on Monday morning, everybody got home safe, and that's yes. that's important because it can be a kind of a crazy day in some ways. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the fact that, you know, the little island we're from in the North Atlantic, and it's celebrated the way it is around the world, is it just goes to show a lot of Irish people have done a lot of good things around the place. So you're just, you know, well, happy to promote the heritage.
I mean, you think about Erie and Erie's history.
Yeah.
And the Irish that have come here, you know, St. Patrick's Church, for example.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
That that was going to be the cathedral,
yeah.
you know, before they built St. Peter's. I mean, so basically you're saying, you know, the U.S. expression of St. Patrick's Day is a little bit of Ferris Bueller Day Off, a little bit yeah. of Rubens and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know, sometimes, and I've often said this, and we've done this, and I think we've done an okay job. Sometimes what's perceived to be Irish and what I know to be Irish will kind of meet you in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we don't go crazy one way or the other. I don't try and inflict on people what I know to be Irish. And mm-hmm. sometimes you just have to embrace some of the Americanisms that are in St. Patrick's Day. And that's absolutely fine as long as people go out and enjoy themselves in the best way they can. And why not?
We've kind of done that with every other holiday. So, yeah I mean, we made it American. So that's fantastic. And I mean, like, what does that look like at your stores, at your shops this weekend? You're going to have a busy weekend?
Yeah.
You all stocked?
We're stocked. Yes. we'll be stocked tomorrow. But yeah, it's a busy weekend, particularly downtown. I mean, you know, Public House, Harbor House and John Russell Brewing Company will get their share, but it's still kind of pretty much centered. I mean, obviously we have the parade here on Saturday,
yeah,
and then we've Paddy's Day on Sunday. So you're back to back days, which, you know, and a lot of times, if you know, Saturday the weather's supposed to be pretty good, Sunday maybe a little bit iffy,
right?
But you know, we don't have snow, it's not terribly cold, so again, I look forward to it. I kind of enjoy it. And you know, it's, you know, sometimes I say it's spring break in a day for adults, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
but that's okay, like, yeah. just go and enjoy yourself, and why not?
Yeah, be safe. Literally one block north of us here is U-Pick 6 Tap House. It's one of the many in the chain of U-Pick 6s and John Russell Brewing. And John Melody is the proprietor of all those. He is a member of the Erie Sports Hall of Fame and just really an amazing entrepreneur. And John, I want to kind of, you don't like pivot, but we're going to pivot to the business aspect of this thing, because I think you've somehow cracked the secret sauce, or you have a strong understanding of the Erie market. And they always say, if it plays in Erie, it's like Peoria. If it plays in Erie, it can work anywhere. Yeah. Erie's a special place, you know. You know, we don't have this, you know, our per capita income is not a Pittsburgh or certainly a Wexford.
Right.
You know, you have to play. You have to price things correctly. You have to pay people correctly. What's your approach to business in all of that?
I think when we first started, our approach was there's a market for the post-college crowd. There's a market for the 30-somethings and beyond.
Kind of that St. Elmo's Fire crowd, you know. They're still young and vibrant, but they're not at school anymore.
Well, you're not as young and vibrant as you used to be, but you still come in every now and then,
don't
you?
Yeah,
there you go.
That's true. We were just saying that the pretzels at Tap House are off the chain.
Yeah,
love those.
Thank you. And that was it. I mean, at that point, maybe in downtown Erie, a lot of people were trying to attract people by specials and deals. And if you don't have specials and you don't attract the college kids, then you're not going to make it. And our philosophy was very, very different. And no, there's a market for people who are out of college who have somewhat of a disposable income. That, you know, value comes in many different ways. I mean, some people see value as cheap, and some people see value as, hey, if I get a really great experience, that's value. So it depends on your perception of value. So I think we looked on the other side of value, being give somebody, you know, good food, good drink, good service in a you know, a nice environment. And that was the value to a lot of people. And I think that's kind of how we started out, based on that philosophy.
You have this downtown store, but you also have the store, the shop in Mill Creek and in Harbor Creek. Mm-hmm. Are those a different vibe, more like you get bigger crowds, families, so on?
You do. I mean, and you know, is they're all a little different, and they, and was one of the reasons we made them all a little different. We want to be part of the communities we're in. They all have their own personality, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I talk about our pubs like that. You know what I mean? That what you know, the personality that's in it. A lot of it is driven by who's working in it and who's managing, who's running it. And you know, we've had some managers now that have started as cooks or bartenders, and now are general managers of some of our stores. So we like to promote from within. We like to, you know, to the best of our ability, take care of our staff, and you know, we've had a lot of people that have worked for us and with us for a long, long time, and it's nice to see that development of people and to grow with the business.
Talk about workforce again. There's a lot of folks. I mean, mm-hmm. it's our number one conversation that we have here on the show. How has it affected your chain?
I mean, it has. I mean, obviously, you know, we had three places under construction when COVID happened.
Oh,
you know, we had Bay House under construction, Pier 6 under construction, and John Russell Brewing under construction. So that all shut down. And then, you know, we opened John Russell. We had to shut down John Russell to take the staff from there to go down and open Pier 6. We shut down Tap House for a number of months. We did a bit of a remodel at the time, but we didn't reopen it because we just weren't getting the workforce that we wanted. And we didn't want to open it in such a way that, you know, it wasn't going to be, you know, any good. So now we've worked our way through that a little bit. I think we've done a decent job, but it's always tough. It's tough on everybody every day. And I think that's one of the things, and I speak for everybody else in the same industry that I'm in. It's probably the most talked about thing, not only on your show, but in people's businesses. They run them day to day. And how do you do it? Obviously, summer's coming. You need an influx of people, because rooftop bars open and patios open and stuff like that. You naturally become busier because there's a stretch in the evenings and stuff like that. There's more tourists around, all of those things. So, you know, we still have work to do, but, you know, we just try and you just get on with it, right? I mean, what choice do you have? You just do the best that you can and take care of the people that work for you, so they can take care of the people that work for them, and we move on from there.
Do you get a sense that the younger servers and chefs can understand that this could really be a very lucrative career for them? Or do they have to experience it and work with somebody that's going to treat them well, like you would?
Yeah, I think both, right? I mean, it's some people are cut out for it, some people are not. Some people don't mind the, it's not necessarily the hours. I mean, you know, our managers are working 45 to 50 hours a week. They get 2 days off a week. We have a healthcare plan. We have a 401k plan. Nice. I mean, we run it like, what we think we should run it, and so as we can try and take care of the people that work for us. But, you know, people can talk about the younger people and they're this and they're that. I mean, they are the way they are, and we have to find ways to accommodate them and take care of them and bring them along. And you know, somebody said this to me the other day, but I suppose the best way you can describe it now is you're looking for people who want to take care of the guest.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and there is, for me, there's reward in that. There's personal gratification in that when you walk out your front door, you have so many choices in what we do. The fact that you come to one of our places, we want to make sure that you get your value. If you spend $50, we want you to get at least $51 worth of value. Because if you're getting 49, it's not worth it for you.
Yeah.
Creating the value, creating the experience that when people walk out the door, they go, that was a good use of my time and my money, and I had a good experience, and I'll be back.
Let's get another phone call in here. Hey, you're live on Talk Erie. Go ahead with John Melody.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm a big fan. In fact, we'll be eating at the Public House later this evening. I really appreciate the details you put into your restaurants, the bricks and the door and the woodwork. You just always, it's a top notch. And back to your thing about value, you know, there's several places I could go this evening, and you know, you're top of our list, the West Side especially, because of the consistency and how nice the places are, all really are taken care of. That's all I want to say. Just appreciate everything you invested in your community.
And thank you very much for saying that. And I think that's the humbling thing in our experience and in what we do, is when people will say that to you, you kind of go, listen, we are. You know, doing the best we can. We're all about the community. As I said, listen, we have an event at Pier 6 tonight for Make-A-Wish Foundation, which we will raise a good bit of money for. You'll talk about our golf outing, the work we've done with Boys and Girls Club. So I'm very, as much as people say you're providing you know, a service for us, like this gentleman just said, out of public house, and it's great to hear that. But we also want to give back and make sure that the community that we're living in and representing and making our living out of is that we are giving back to that. And that whole part of it is tremendously important to us as we go forward. It's always been important to us.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the golf outing, because it is something that y'all have been doing for quite a number of years. You've raised over $70,000 to support youth, and now you have this Success Through Sport Foundation. Talk about who comes to the golf outing and what you do with the dollars.
Yeah, we've been doing the golf outing. I suppose it's probably 10 years now. We've been doing the U Pick Six golf outing, and a lot of, you know, for the first 6 or 7 or 8 years, we did Boys and Girls Club, and we, you know, $70,000+ to them over that period of time. And we've done a lot of soccer camps for Boys and Girls Club. Mm. We're very, when I say we, I talk about my business partner, who's Russ, you know, Russ Stakowitz, who's a local Erie guy, strong Vincent grad. You know, we've been business partners now for a while, right? So, and it's...
Oh, there's the John Russell.
That's the John Russell, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not very creative, so... We got John and we got Russell, and there you go.
I thought there was some kind of backstory from deep in Ireland land, you know.
See, back to, I told you we're not creative. We come up with a name, and that's let's move on. Yeah, so, I mean, he's my business partner, and we're very, like, you know, it's a lot about kids and giving kids a chance and giving kids an opportunity. And so, you know, we set up our own foundation called Success Through Sport, where we provide... You know, I suppose money and taking the money we make so as we can, you know, donate it to whatever organization that inner city kids, underprivileged kids, refugee kids, and people just who don't have the means to play organized sports, because sports can be so expensive in this country.
It's true.
And, you know, it's pay to play most of the time at any kind of a decent level. So to offset that, is just something we're doing, and it's something that we hope to, you know, we're very much in its infancy at the moment, but it's something that I hope and that Russ hopes that we can kind of grow to have a significant impact in our community. Right now it's primarily soccer, but we would like to grow that where we can, for, you know, for lots of different sports, and just giving kids an opportunity that they might not otherwise have. So the success is coming from them playing a sport so they can move on to the next level. We're not doing anything that we're not paying them to play, or we're not doing anything like that. We're just providing an opportunity, and it's really nice to see it.
I'm interested in, you know, the idea of career pathway for, you know, for a restaurant manager, for service, for hospitality in a broader sense. I mean, do you have to reach out to the high schools, to the kids, of saying, hey, this is an option for you. You don't have to go into a lot of debt. You can learn how to be just friendly and be efficient and have a living wage.
Yeah, I mean, we have done some, you know, there's career days at high schools and you know, trying to bring people along. I think a lot of times, if I look at the management team that we have right now, like I said earlier, a lot of them started as, but you know, you see something in some of these people and you kind of go, you know what, and you know, you kind of sow the seed and get them in. And sometimes we've had managers, people that have come in and tried management and said, no, it's not for me, and gone back to serving or bartending or whatever it might be. But it's nice to, we have more success stories than not.
That's awesome.
And it's nice when you see them, you know, kind of grow and develop into something. And like I say, it is a living wage, despite what some people think.
Yeah.
It is, and like I said earlier on, we do healthcare, we do 401k plans, we do paid vacation, we've personal time off. We try to make it a lifestyle. And some people, you know, it's not 9 to 5, but you can make it a lifestyle. And there's a lot of people that work for us like the fact that, you know, they can get a Tuesday off, and they can run around and do everything they need to do when it's a quieter day, and they're not trying to do something when they're the busier times. And there's people that just like that. They like to go on their little time away on Mondays and Tuesdays when places are not as busy, you know. So, you know, if it becomes your lifestyle, which I've made it, which Russ has made it, you know we're married, we have families, and you just make it your lifestyle, and that's okay. I mean, there's lots of different ways to do things.
I'm interested in talking about the clientele for a second, because I would imagine it's difficult or just harder for a locally owned chain to attract visitors as opposed to, let's say, a national name brand, you know what I mean? And so, but I would imagine also that you're seeing a lot of visitors at your pubs.
But it's just like this gentleman alluded to a little bit ago about Public House, you know what I mean? He's like, he sees the value in it. He sees, you know, the location is good, you know, and that's what you try and attract. So you're there, you're in your communities. Like Bay House Pier 6, for example.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, we do a lot of, you know, kind of private events down there, and there's a lot of people that will come in and say, hey, we have friends in town, but we want to showcase Erie the best way we can showcase. And for me, a lot of people would say to me at Bay House, going, you know, you don't even feel like you're in Erie here when you're here.
Wow.
So, which I would like to flip on its head and kind of go, I want you to feel like you're in Erie when you're here, because this is what Erie's capable of, and this is what we're doing, and this is how we're growing, and this is how we're developing. And, you know, we have a lot of good assets in this town, and we need to be more, I suppose we need to sing that more from the treetops than be apologetic for it. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things that are, there's a lot more good than bad, you know? So,
well, it's almost like we need to raise our expectations almost to the point that, every time we say, well, this doesn't even feel like Erie. Well, why can't Erie have nice things?
Yeah. So let's make, and that's, and I say that to people when they say that to me, and I'm like, and they're like, yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. Okay. You know, we want you to be near. It has, this place has potential, and I think a lot of it hasn't been realized yet, but you can see what the Bayfront has become in the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years and continues to grow. I mean, you know, I'm looking out the window here at Ascend, and, you know, like, there's lots of good people doing lots of good things. Even in the bar and restaurant business, there's a ton of good options. There's really a lot of people doing really, really cool things in this town, and it's nice to see it.
So you feel like here going into the summer season, I mean, really, it kind of starts on this weekend, really. Do you feel like you're pretty stable at all of your locations as far as staffing and you're in a good place now?
I'm stable insofar as I think, you know, we've a good management team.
Yeah.
We do have to hire a considerable amount of people, you know, to open Pier 6.
Okay.
I mean, you know, because basically every April you're opening a new restaurant. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Amazing.
So the
Bay House stays open year long.
Correct.
But the upstairs
Pier 6 right now is it's April to October. You know, quite honestly, we tried to keep it open past you know, October, November, and it just quite didn't work really because people are like it's you know primarily outside. I mean, the inside is small enough, so. So right now it's seasonal for the foreseeable future, and but like I say, every April then you're, you know, so we'll open April 3rd,
just in time for the eclipse.
Yeah,
I mean, you could watch the eclipse from Pier 6. You
sure could, absolutely you could. And then we'll, you know, April 3rd, and we'll be 5 days a week until June, and then June, July, August, September, we're 7 days a week. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we have to kind of ramp ourselves into that a little bit, but again, that's, you know, it's all, you know, it's fine. We'll, you know, we figure out a way.
Amazing. As those hotels along the water go, I would imagine those particular.
Huge. I mean, I think, you know, I would say kind of maybe 50% of our business down there in the summertime is tourism. You know, I'm very thankful that Pittsburgh doesn't have a lake, that they have to come
here. They have to come up here and spend their Wexford money and their
if they ever got a lake
Mount Bethel money up here, you know.
If they ever got a lake down there, we'd be in trouble. You know, you see a lot of people from Western Pennsylvania. But again, it's people come here and they kind of go, like, particularly during COVID, maybe when people couldn't travel as much, they couldn't travel internationally as much. And all of a sudden they're like, let's go to Erie for a weekend. And they're like, wow, this place is all right. This is nice. Erie's beautiful in the summer.
100%.
I used to always say it when I was in college. A lot of people that come to Erie, whether they go to Gannon or Mercyhurst or Berrind or Edinburgh, they don't often get to see Erie at its best. They're here from September to May, June, July, and August, when Erie's at its absolute best. They don't quite see it.
Yeah.
Erie is, you know, I could stand here and my list of positives would be way longer than my list of negatives for this town.
I was going to say, you're pretty bullish on, are you bullish on the Erie economy? Obviously, you've been able to thrive here.
You know, listen, we could always do a little bit better. I mean, you know, downtown has struggled a little bit, you know, obviously. But everything's going to ebb and flow somehow, some way. So you just have to be kind of ready for when it turns the corner. And, you know, we keep investing in it. We keep believing in it. And, you know, we keep going forward. There's no point in moaning about it.
No.
You know, you just get on with it. That's your job on your radio station.
I get to moan.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. So, no, or whoever is, you know.
Whoever's calling me,
yeah,
usually.
No,
and I have to turn them around, John.
Right, yeah.
Well, but,
let's do it together.
The idea of quality of life is what will turn. We have to turn this population thing around. We can't keep losing population. And places like yours add to that quality of life that say, hey, we can go have an honest meal, have that value, enjoy a night out. You know?
And it's true. And I think a lot of the people that kind of discuss the value are people that have moved away. And then all of a sudden they kind of come back and they go, you know, Erie's not that bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think people are anxious to get out here. And you can understand it in January and February and March. I mean, it's freezing. I mean, it's hard to blame them. Albeit we've had a mild winter.
But it's freezing in Duluth. It's freezing in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. And they've done a good job. You know, and the Midwest is, you know, we're either on the cusp of the Midwest, depending on who you talk to. But it's not a bad place to be. And, you know, we say, you know, there are hurricanes and there's this and there's that and we have snow. But, you know, we can shovel that. You can't shovel a hurricane. You know what I mean? So
what's next for you, Pick Six?
I don't know. I mean, there's opportunity out there. I mean, there is. And you know, it's... We kick the tires on a few things and you kind of go, like I said, there is opportunity out there. But right now, I think because of the labor force, the way it is, you have to be a little bit more calculated in what you do. And you can't just open a place and expect that there's a staff going to come walking in the door looking for a job. So it's a little bit more difficult than it was. But, you know, there's something on the horizon.
Yeah. I mean, you would never say if you build it, they will come.
Never. Never.
There's a lot that goes behind rolling out a brand.
Absolutely.
Like that.
And I think you have to be kind of, and I suppose, you know, when you're younger and we first started this, maybe we were a little bit more bullish of like, let's just do it. But, you know, now you have to be a little bit more calculated. We still have to protect and look after the people that work for us. We still have to make sure that the people that come in are looked after and taken care of and they get their value and so on and so forth. And so all about that. And we don't want to compromise what we've done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes it does create a little bit of energy sometimes in people when you go, okay, we're taking on a new project. And that provides more opportunity for other people to move into different roles as well. We have a, you know, from our GMs to our managers to but we have, you know, we have an IT, we have a maintenance guy, and we have the girls in the office, we have an event coordinator, marketing director. Like, so many people are doing such good jobs. And when people say to me, you do such a good job, all I can do is look at, you know, who's doing it with us. And It is absolutely a team effort every day.
Amazing. John Melody, You Pick Six. Aaron Go Bra.
There you go. Close enough.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.